Welcome to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast, a deep dive into biblical leadership with pastor and author, Dr. Gerald Brooks.
Hi, this is Gerald Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. Before we jump into the lesson entitled Leading with Priorities, I want to put some dates on your calendar. One is June 19th. I will be in the Atlanta area, and in Atlanta, I will be doing a roundtable where we will be talking about the four stages of a leader's life. You know, one of the things that I found is that people hire people, and people always talk about the stage of leadership they're in that they've yet to reach. And so many times we hire someone thinking they can be in this position, but then what we find is their life is in this position. So we hired somebody who, based on their verbal content, told us they lead at this level, when the reality is they're only leading at this level. And if you put people in the wrong leadership position, you mess you up, you mess them up, you mess the ministry up. So we talk a lot about the stages, what do those look like, and it'll help you to be able to mix and match properly your team. And then on August 21st, Miami, Florida, and September 11th, Boston, Massachusetts. Now, here's the thing about those last two. In Miami and Boston, I'm doing strategic church growth. We will be doing the various timelines of a church. Do you know why most churches quit growing at a certain time in their generation of how old their church is? Do you know what causes them to restart, to be able to kickstart? Why some churches never are able to get out of a certain time in their way and they stay that way forever? Well, these are the kind of events you need to come to. This is strategic. We're going to open the engine and we're going to give you a lot of insight. Now, you can sign up for all of these at GeraldBrooksMinistries.com. That's GeraldBrooksMinistries.com. Today, we're going to talk about leading with priorities. When you study the Bible spends a lot of time talking about first. It uses that word repeatedly, first. Now, one of the concepts of Bible interpretation that I think everyone needs to embrace is this: when the Word of God makes sense, don't look for any other sense unless you end up with nonsense. And too often, the Bible is crystal clear on something, but we try to modify it, we try to manipulate it, and it just doesn't work. And so when the Bible talks about first, it talks about those things because those are the things that must be first. So in the Old Testament, it talks about your first fruits. It talks about when the initial harvest is coming in. Those very first fruits. Maybe you're hungry, maybe there hasn't been enough food, but it says those first fruits belong to God. The very first belongs to God. Jesus said, seek first. What did he say? He says, in all your agenda items, you need to make sure that there's something that you are pursuing first above all else. And we know that to be the kingdom of God. And then Paul talked about the first day of the week. He was talking about when the church gathered, the first day of the week. This was the first day. This was the day that referenced when Jesus rose from the dead, the first day. So the first day of the week. And then we're told in Timothy to pray first. So throughout the Bible, we have a lot of the Bible talking about first. Why is it? Because some things just should be first. But when some things should be first, that means some things should not be first. But here's the problem. When things are not in order, life nor leadership will work. You can do all the right things, but if you do them in the wrong order, sometimes you begin to eliminate possibilities. There's a reason God said certain things are first. Now, let's take that into a leadership paradigm. The nature of leadership, wherever you lead, whomever you lead, when you lead, you have to define the priorities. Now, let me illustrate by saying this. Most leaders have just navigated through the most taxing priority struggles they have ever been through in their life with the issue of COVID. I mean, when COVID came, everything was turned head over heels. And in the midst of that tumultuous moment and time, what happened? All of a sudden, priorities were lost. Now, in worst case scenarios, you must have priorities. Why? They tell us what to do, and they tell us what not to do. But they also tell us when to do what to do. So they tell us what to do and what not to do and when to do what we do. Now, during the COVID moments, I sat down and I wrote down three things that were going to guide the priorities of my life, the ministry, and the church that at that time I oversaw. And the first one was going to be, we would always choose conviction over criticism. We would always choose conviction over criticism. See, during COVID, it was clear, no matter what you would do, you would be criticized. If you did A, you were going to be criticized. If you did B, you were going to get criticized. If you did A and B, you were going to get criticized. And if you didn't do A or B, you were going to get criticized. So, knowing that criticism was going to happen, the decision was made by me. Conviction would guide us. So what were our convictions? What were the things that really, really were the convictions of our lives? So conviction was going to drive us. It was not whether we were going to get criticized, how much we would get criticized, how often we would get criticized. We knew we would get criticized. So we were going to let our convictions have priority over criticism. Then we would choose hard over easy. Hard over easy. So for us, what that meant was if we were going to do certain things, and given the logistics of that time, it seemed impossible, we were not going to let hard stop us from doing what we needed to do. We weren't going to say, well, this isn't easy. We were going to choose hard over easy. And so if that was how we had to model and manage the moment, hard would always be our choice over easy. And then thirdly, mission over message. See, back then, the government wanted us, hey, just give your message. Go online, begin to present your message and whatever your message is. But we weren't content with a message because church is bigger than a message. It is a mission. And there were things that are our mission. One of them is we are going to reach lost people. Another one is we are going to help hurting people. Another one is we are going to feed poor people. And so the consolidation of those three things, we were going to make our mission over message. We weren't going to sit back and just say, hey, we're getting our message out every week. That's good. For us, that wasn't. So our priorities became conviction over criticism, hard over easy, and mission over message. And that's what led us during that time. Now, all I'm saying to you is the nature of priorities, they guide you during tough times. They tell you what to do, what not to do, and when to do what you do. So we navigated through that. Now, let's just go a little bit deeper in this priority equation. And let's just look at what that looks like, feels like, and get a little bit more hands-on. There's always going to be noise. If you're leading, there's always noise. Every organization has background noise. There are people out there that create noise. Society is adding to the noise. The moment of whatever's on the news will add and create more noise. There's always noise. But just because there's noise, you do not react to it. Do you know how when you get on a plane, they have noise canceling ear covers that you begin to put over your ear? And as a result of that, it begins to eliminate some of the noise. Let me give you some things to help eliminate noise when it comes to decision making. In life, there will always be issues which demand our attention but don't deserve it. That shuts down a whole lot of noise. When you realize in life, there will always be issues which demand our attention, but they just don't deserve it. See, there's always going to be something in front of you that says, pay attention to me, pay attention to me. I'm the most important. You've got to pay attention to me. You've got to pay attention to me. And if you don't pay attention to me, then you're going to blow it. But in life, there's always issues that demand our attention, but they don't deserve it. No matter how loud something is, the volume should never determine your priorities. So my attention can be on some things. It can't be on everything. My attention can be on a few things. It can't be on many things. Therefore, I've got to be able to take the noise and dial it down so that I'm not letting what is the loudest get the attention. That'll shut down a lot of the noise. Next one. In life, there's always problems which want our time but don't need it. If you're a leader, you're surrounded by problems. You have your problems, but you have the problems of the organization. But then you have the problems of everyone in the organization that wants to push up their problems to you. Now, here's the thing. In life, there's always problems. There's always something going wrong. There's something that's going bad. But what you give your time to distinguishes between a problem and a priority. God didn't ask you to pursue and put first your problems. God asked you to seek first and prioritize his kingdom. So in life, there's always problems which want our time, but they don't need it. So when you begin to understand that problems are always going to be there, and they're always going to say, pay attention to me, I need your time, and you begin to let these kind of thoughts filter, the noise goes down. Here's another one. In life, there's always circumstances which desire our energy, but they don't require it. So there's always going to be circumstances that say, put your energy here. And so you've got to understand that there's only a limited number of places as a leader that you can put your energy. And you have to put your energy in the right place, doing the right things. So if you want to shut down noise, don't give it to everything that just demands attention. Don't give it to everything that just wants our time. And don't give it to everything that just wants and desires our energy. And so you've got to have these filters, or the noise will drive you. The noise will drive you. Now, let's just assume that you have some very clear priorities. You need to ask some questions. What are your priorities today? Do I give up on them? So, are my priorities today going to be my priorities tomorrow? Or do I give up on my priorities Do I give up on them? Or maybe this question, do I adjust them? Do I take my priorities and begin to adjust them and begin to handle them a little bit different? Or do I stand up for them? See, you need to ask your questions. Are your priorities today really the priorities you need? And if they are the priorities that you need, do you need to adjust them in any way? Or if these priorities are your priorities and they need no adjustment, do you stand up for them? Those are critical questions. Now, what I want to do is I want to give you 7 principles for priorities. 7 principles for priorities. So if I'm going to lead with priorities, I need some things that help me understand priorities, that help me wrap my arm around our priorities so that our priorities stay healthy and stay functional. So I want to give you 7 principles about priorities. The first one, there will be individuals who will try to force their priorities on you. There will always be people who, whatever is important to them, will try to make that the most important thing to you. As I tell people all the time in organizations, nobody expects you to do everything, but everyone expects you to do their thing. See, nobody expects you to do everything, but everyone expects you to do their thing. So you need to understand that when it comes to your priorities, there's always someone trying to force their priorities on you. So when a ministry's young, a church is young, like ours was decades ago, there would be people who would come and they would ask, well, do you have this program? And I knew we didn't have that program, but I knew that they looked talented, gifted. And when you're starting ministry, you just want any kind of talent. And so in the midst of that, you found yourself saying yes to other people's priorities and losing yours. There will always be individuals who try to force their priorities on you. Say no to them. Just say no to them. Principle number 2. During times of pressure is never the best time to determine priorities. You never determine priorities in moments of pressure. You just never do. You don't let moments of pressure determine your priorities. See, under pressure, everything is inflated. The problems look so much bigger. Your options look so much smaller. And if you try to make lifelong priorities during moments of pressure, you will never be able to succeed. So during times of pressure isn't when you make decisions on priorities. Number 3, it is always easier to set your priorities than to live them. It's always easier to set your priorities than to live them. So what does that mean? Having a priority is easy. Living it's what hard. So if you're going to take it, here's what the way you would do it. You have principles that create priorities, and priorities create practices. Did you get it? Principles create priorities. Priorities create practices. It's always easier to set your priorities than to lead them. And so you've got to be able to live out. Number 4, at times you'll need to be pragmatic, but don't change them. What does that mean? It means that there are moments in time where you may be out of balance. Yeah, that word everyone asks about, how do I maintain balance? The truth of the matter is, most leaders are good at knowing when to be out of balance, not in balance. And so if someone's falling off a cliff and I reach down and I grab their arm, most likely I'm not in a standing position. I'm bent over or I'm on my knees and I'm trying to pull them. I'm taking all my weight and putting it on one side to be able to get them up. What does that mean? I'm out of balance when I'm trying to help that person. And so sometimes you've got to be pragmatic and say, hey, these are our priorities, but this is how we live out our priorities at this minute. It's not how we live out our priorities every minute, but for this minute. The next principle, priorities create boundaries so we can live in them. See, my priorities tell me what to do, but my priorities tell me what not to do. Now, because of the nature of who I am, I need a lot of time because I'm more messed up. Let me just confess, I'm more messed up than pretty well anybody who's listening to this podcast. So for me to do what I have to do, I have to pray more. So my prayer time may be more extensive than some of the others. That doesn't make me more spiritual. It means that I'm just more messed up. And because I'm more messed up, I have to live within boundaries of prayer that other people don't. Because of the nature of what I've been asked to do, the kind of issues where I help people, all of that leads to boundaries. Number six. You can never look to the crowd to find your priorities. See, we live in a world that wants consensus. But all consensus is the lowest level of commitment of a group of people talking at one time. You never look to the crowd to find your priorities. I don't look to this world. I'm not going to do a focus group with this world. I'm not going to poll this world. In fact, I have friends, they're famous at putting out polls in their church. I'll never do that. And the reason is that they give me a snapshot of what people feel at a moment, but they don't give me the reality of what God wants to do at that moment. I'm more interested for me to understand what God wants me to do than what people would like me to do. So, you can never look to the crowd to find them. And then seven, priorities have a personal cost, and you will pay for them. For me to put God first means that other things that other people do, I don't get to do. For me to put my wife second means that there is a time commitment there that's going to take time from other things. For me to conduct ministry, it means that I'm going to focus on things other people don't have to focus on. See, there's a personal cost. If your priorities aren't costing you, then you don't have priorities. There's always a cost to them. So, principles for priorities, there will be people who will try to force their priorities on you. During times of pressure is never the best time to determine priorities. It's always easier to set your priorities than to live them. At times, you will need to be pragmatic, but don't change them. Priorities create boundaries, so live in them. And you can never look to the crowd to find them. And priorities have a personal cost, and you must pay them. I think these thoughts can help you. And if you're a leader, they can help you a lot. And if you have leaders around you, giving these thoughts away can help them a lot. I say all that to say that one of my priorities is being in the room. I know everybody wants to do a Zoom call. I know everybody wants to just have an audio message. But when it comes to leadership, leadership is caught as much as it's taught. And being in the room separates most leaders from non-leaders. leaders choose to get in a room so they can get better. And I want to remind you, on June 19th, Atlanta, it's a great room to be in. Miami and Boston, strategic church growth. You're going to learn how to grow a church from the inside out. And some of you that are 15 years in, you're about to face something. Some of you that are over 20 years, you're going through something. Some of you that are just starting, you need to know something. In Miami, August 21st, Boston, September 11th, you'll learn a lot about church. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for listening to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast. If you'd like more information on Dr. Brooks's books, audio, or speaking engagements, please go to GeraldBrooksMinistries.com.